brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyard, America's self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic anti-choice talk show host. Which former presidents are not buried in the United States? Which former presidents are not buried in the United States? All I could think of is Gerald Ford, Jimmy Carter, and Ronald Reagan. That's it. And pretty soon, Bill Clinton, for a time. Now, what did John Quincy Adams say about a former president? He said, there's nothing so pathetic in life as an ex-president. And we'll find out. Certainly, that's true regarding Gerald Ford and Jimmy Carter. And Ronald Reagan, our sympathy goes out to him and his family and our prayers for them since he's fallen and broken his hip. The same week my grandfather fell, my 90-year-old grandfather fell, and he separated the bones in his neck. And right now, it's been over a week, and he's virtually paralyzed. He can move his facial expressions in his mouth. He can move, and he can move some of his toes, but he doesn't really have much. He can't move his fingers. I think he can move his arms a bit, but not his fingers. And so this is real tragic, and we've been witnessing to him for over 25 years. And it's just in the last week that he said some things that have encouraged us, that he prays every night. He said he prays to Jesus. And he said to my mom, in contrast to a number of liberals in our family and family friends who have been visiting him in his hospital room, he said to my mom with another family there, he said, I agree. I believe in everything you believe. And my mom is a very strong conservative Christian. So we're encouraged by those things, but we're not taking it for granted that he's saved. We're going to continue to work on him, but he's a strong introvert, and he holds his feelings in close and tight, and he was raised in such a way and lived in such a way that you don't talk about your feelings or your deeply held personal beliefs. You don't talk about those things. Of course, that's not healthy, and that's part of the old school. But we love him, and we are doing our best to reach out to him, even in this difficult time. So you could pray for my family also, and my grandfather. We call him Otto. All his friends call him Otto. His name is Adolf, spelled with a P-H. Adolf Galluccio. All right. Now, so Bill Clinton is soon to join the ranks of ex-presidents, and since this Sunday was his last Sunday as president, the pastor of his church, Philip Waugaman, invited Bill Clinton to give the sermon. So he was in the pulpit and delivered the sermon at Foundry United Methodist Church. Now, that's the church in Washington, D.C. we've often talked about that loves homos, loves abortionists, despises conservative Christians, that doubts that Jesus Christ actually rose from the dead, that has allowed homosexuals to preach from the pulpit, and even a perverted Bishop Spong to be a guest speaker there on an all-day Saturday event where they presented the Apostle Paul as a self-hating gay man and David as a homo. And they even show Jesus dressed, for the more feminine people in the audience, dressed in a skirt, in a dress. A blasphemous church. And it's the church that Bob Dole and Elizabeth Dole attended for many years. Foundry United Methodist Church. Bob Dole, by the way, during his campaign, he stopped going there just to dupe the Christians who are so gullible. And they say, oh, he's a Christian. He's pro-life. He's Bob Dole. And Elizabeth Dole, who gave homosexuals benefits while she was president of the Red Cross. But anyway, and George W. Bush and his wife attend, their church is also a United Methodist church. So it'll be interesting to see what church they go to in Washington. what are the chances that they'd go to Hillary's church? What do you think? I think the chances are really good. I think they'll probably go to Waugaman's church. We'll find out, of course. At any rate, Bill Clinton preached the sermon. Chelsea delivered the reading from the Old Testament, and Hillary from the New. So it was a family affair, so to speak. All right. Now we're going to take a call. Our phone number, 1-800-8-N-YARDS. You could call us on Mondays from noon to 2 Eastern Time, 1-800-836-9278. Jot down that number. And if you've got a question during the week or a comment, put a reminder in your day timer. And then on Mondays from noon to 2 Eastern Time, give us a buzz, 800-836-9278. But in Indianapolis, I'm going to go to the phone in right now, but in Indianapolis, they've got a Baptist church that the federal marshals are getting ready to seize because of the IRS suing the church. And we'll talk about that in a bit. In fact, I'm thinking of calling the church. Maybe I'll do that. But first, let's go to the phones. In Minnesota, Dan, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Welcome to the program. I'm doing well.
Thanks. Hey, first of all, I heard that you may have been on the Drudge Report. Is that true?
Yeah, that's right. We announced that at the end of our show yesterday. And Dan, this is, I recognize your voice. This is Dan who's been protesting the strip joint, and your wife.
Yes.
In what city?
St. Cloud.
St. Cloud, Minnesota.
Yeah. We've kind of, we're waiting until it gets warmer. We're going to start up again in the spring.
Good plan, especially being in Minnesota.
Yeah, it was below zero. But anyway, so you were, it will be on tomorrow's show, Drudge Report?
Well, no, Drudge aired Sunday night.
Oh, okay. It was on Sunday.
It aired Sunday night. Yeah, and I was a caller into his show about 20 minutes into his first hour.
Oh.
And he was taking people saying goodbye to Bill Clinton.
Oh, yeah.
And the first calls about were pretty much, I think, from people who were just bitter and angry.
Yeah.
And so it was, you could understand their bitterness, but I was bummed out that they weren't more substantive.
Yeah.
And then I blindsided Drudge by calling in and talking about Bill Clinton raping Juanita Broderick.
Of course. And no one else probably brought that up at all.
Well, not till that point. And Drudge said, well, I don't think I should allow this on the airwaves because we have to censor this type of reporting. And he was great. Yeah, now continue.
Right.
What
and
else
he's
you
have
to
kind
say?
Of brought the whole thing up, right?
Say again, what? What's that, Dan?
Was he the, Matt Drudge, was he the one who brought the whole thing up way back for the Wall Street Journal, the report?
Well, I don't know. I think he had Juanita Broderick's name early on.
Okay.
But I don't think he was the person who broke that story.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure.
No.
I have a few questions about ShadowGov.
What
would we do if we were under a godly,
a Christian government? Governing based on God's principles.
Right. I have a few articles that were emailed to me from Bob Manyart Live E-Groups.
Okay.
My main news source today.
All right.
A few people on there are always putting up articles that are interesting.
Okay.
And the first one I want to talk about was, the headline is, DA prosecutes mom who gave son condoms. Now, I don't know if you've heard of this, but
no.
This woman, she's 33 years old. She could face up to 15 years in prison and a $10,000 fine because she was giving her 13-year-old son condoms so he could have sex with his 15-year-old girlfriend.
Okay, and she obviously will not go to jail. She won't face anything.
No. They say the purpose of that law.
This is here in the U.S.?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hmm?
Yeah, she's... Go ahead. Tell me more.
It was Wisconsin, but obviously
where is it?
Will happen. They say that law is for live-in boyfriends, and if the boyfriend is messing with the kid, so this doesn't really apply to this situation, I guess, but... Under ShadowGov, what if something like that happened? What would happen to a mom who buys her son condoms?
Yeah. Well, that one. Okay, let's think about that. if people, if unmarried people have sex, God recommends that they get married.
Right.
If someone uses a child for some kind of sexual gratification, the sexual molestation of a child, we believe that the person should be executed.
Right. In this case,
similar to rape, and similar to sex with an animal, or homosexuality, or adultery, a gross perversion of sexuality could be punishable by death.
Okay.
In this case, in making a decision like this, I would try to decide, is the son old enough to marry the girl?
Yeah, he's 13.
If he is, then I would not say the mother should be put to death, but she should be flogged.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking it would be child abuse for this kid. I mean, she wasn't forcing him to have sex, but she was definitely encouraging it, and she knew that he was, and she didn't do anything about it.
Right, right.
So she thought, he's too old to understand about love, but I don't know, here's some condoms, have sex, I guess, if you're going to.
Yeah, if the child was much younger, I would say it's certainly sexual abuse of a child, and I would urge the death penalty. Let's say it was a 9-year-old girl, and the parents were, you know, renting her out as a prostitute, or encouraging their friends to have sex with her, or even one of her friends.
Right.
I would think the death penalty would be appropriate. When a boy becomes old enough, a teenager, to where he could theoretically marry, then it would no longer be the death penalty, and he would be encouraged to marry the woman, and the mother should be flogged.
Right. That's what I was thinking, along the lines of that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Jennifer Anderson of Planned Parenthood for Wisconsin, just a comment. If you wait until they're 14 or older, you've missed a lot of teachable moments. That was her comment.
Oh, regarding the story.
Yeah.
So this was a teachable moment.
Yeah.
Giving a 13-year-old a condom.
Right. So, yeah, if it was over 14, you missed a lot of teachable moments, so you got to teach them before that.
I wonder what age she became a slut.
probably pretty young.
Yeah.
A professor of pediatrics in UW, I guess University of Wisconsin-Madison Medical School, he said, I hope that most adults would say to 13-year-olds that this isn't a good idea. That's some advice from a professor.
Of course, the average 13-year-old really cares what an adult thinks is a good idea.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the conservative statement in the news account. That's the conservative statement, but we see how weak that is.
Right.
You tell kids, killing one another is not a good idea.
Yeah, that's an opinion, I guess. It's not a good idea. If you asked his opinion, I would appear.
Right. We need to bring the word wrong back into the upbringing of America's youth.
Exactly.
We need to teach kids that certain things are wrong, and they're not to do them.
Right.
And if they do them, there are severe consequences.
Exactly.
And we need to give severe punishments so that kids respect their parents and the law, and they do what's right instead of what's destructive.
And not worry so much about how the kid feels about it or what their emotions are.
Yeah, or what they think.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Right, it doesn't matter.
Got to teach them.
If some kid thinks it's okay to kill his neighbor kid,
right,
we don't care what he thinks. We want to tell him what is right and what is wrong and intimidate him into doing what is right until he grows and gets a little bit more mature so he could think a little better.
Right.
We're buying him some time. We'll be back in a moment.
Bob Benyart Live is going to Israel March 21st through the 30th, 2001. We'll be leaving out of New York City for Tel Aviv. We'll spend a night in Tel Aviv, and then we'll go into the Holy Land. And I want to read you one of the days that we're going to be in Israel. It's going to be a very small group, about 40 or so people on a single bus, so you get to know and interact with other Bob Benyart Live fans from around the country. We're going to take a boat ride on the Sea of Galilee, then visit the Mount of Beatitudes, site of the Sermon on the Mount. in the sight of the miracles of the loaves and fishes. We're going to proceed to Capernaum and cross the River Jordan and visit Caesarea, Philippi, and the Golan Heights, then return to Tiberias for dinner and the evening. Now that's just one day. Wouldn't that be fun? You get to go to all these different places you've been reading about for so long in the Bible. You get to go on a nice, intimate trip with very few, and will be close friends by the end of the trip, I'm sure. You get to stay in 4-star hotels, because we do it right here, Bobby, in your life. We don't mess around. You're not going to be staying in a youth hostel sleeping on dirt. You're going to be staying in a nice place, and you're going to enjoy yourself. Now, the price of the trip is $19.85 per person based on double occupancy. And if you want a room all by yourself, just add $300 and you can have a room all to yourself. Now, we need a down payment coming up in just a few short weeks. And if you can't swing that, we'll put in some extra money and you can contact us a little later. But we need to hear from you to let us know that you want to go to Israel and spend a week with Bob. It is going to be great. So give us a call, 1-888-8-NYART, and let us know you're interested in the Israel Tour 2001. And everyone here at KGov Radio would like to express our sincere appreciation to each member of our listening audience. Thank you for the financial support you've given over the years and the support that continues to come in from all around America. This is a reminder that all the ministries you hear and hear about on KGOV depend on the faithful financial giving of listeners just like you. We ask you to consider the value of our programming every time you listen. Judge the content and its impact and make a financial contribution based on your decision. You can call anytime, 888-836-9278. That's 888-8-NYART. Make a contribution by credit card, pledge your monthly support, or sign up for one of our monthly tape series. You can also write us at KGOV Radio at P.O. Box 583, Arvada, Colorado, 80001. We welcome your comments and your financial support. Call 888-836-9278 and support Bob Enyart Ministries and KGOV Radio.
Okay, so India's just had tens of millions of people washing in the Ganges to wash off their sins, and now they're getting ready to launch a national political party, the Unix Party. The Unix Party. They figured it would be a natural for the 500,000 mostly men castrated at puberty, and they're referred to as she's, and they call them ants. So they only have one legislator in the country's parliament who's a eunuch, and they call it Ant Shabnam, and they call them she's, and they use the term she to apply broadly to someone who's not classified as either a male nor a female. And so and the Reuters story about this refers to these people as she's throughout. Assume as she's. Talk about a sick nation and a sick religion. Huh? 500,000 castrated Indians. That's a nightmare. All right. Let's go back to Dan here. Dan.
Yeah. Hey, Bob. Something else to add to what we were talking about. I saw on TV the other day, I think it was in Chicago or some big city, and the inner city schools, they are now putting daycares in the high schools for the kids.
Yeah, we've had that in Denver for 10 years.
Oh, yeah? Oh, I lived in Denver. I didn't know that.
Yeah, in Adams City High School, they've had a nursery there, daycare, for at least 10 years.
Oh.
And the girls, you know, young teenage girls, a boyfriend breaks up with them, she can't get a boyfriend, she wants attention, she wants love. What better way of getting all that than getting pregnant?
Exactly.
So she sleeps with some guy she doesn't even care about. It's her ticket out of the house, because then she gets on welfare, She gets a subsidized apartment. She brings her baby to school where all her friends make, you know, goo-goo sounds at the baby. And she's the center of attention for about 6 weeks.
6 weeks until the next baby or
baby
gets grows. Nobody cares anymore.
They had 108 babies born at Adams City High School.
Adams City High School.
And that's after they started the daycare deal.
Oh, that's
after they started handing out condoms. That's after I resigned.
Oh, okay.
From their accountability board.
Right.
3 years earlier.
Because they just couldn't be held accountable.
Right.
Okay, another question I have is, this came up another article, but this what I'm asking is, what would ShadowGov do in this situation? If a husband was upset that his wife was raped,
yeah,
and then the husband went out and killed the rapist, what would a ShadowGov or a righteous government do in that situation to the husband who killed the rapist without letting the government?
Unmercilessly, we would tell him, don't do that again.
Okay. Would you give him one chance? Like, I know it's like being a vigilante, which we should not do. We should let the government,
right, absolutely,
carry out the punishment.
Yeah. Let's think through this now. God gives us an example of this, I think. He gives a principle in the Cities of Refuge when he sets up the system, whereas somebody kills one of your relatives and you think they're a guilty murderer, and the system is breaking down,
right,
and out of emotional grief and vengeance, and you're beside yourself with emotion and anger, and you kill that person.
Right.
God makes it very clear you don't execute that family member.
Okay.
You don't do that. And the case he gives is when the system isn't really functioning properly. The system isn't really functioning properly, and the family member gets this guy and kills him.
Okay. This actually happened in Hermosa Beach in, I guess that's California. A husband went out and killed this guy. He was a rapist. He was a registered sex offender with, was previously convicted of rape by force. I don't know why they say by force. What's the difference? But he was a rapist, and this guy, husband went out and I guess allegedly shoots rape suspect in Hermosa Beach. So that is actually occurring, and he knows the system won't do anything. You know the rapist will get off.
Right. Well, they're going to go after him with a vengeance.
Right. They'll go after him. The rapist would go to prison or be released or whatever.
Right. And under a Christian government that was operating based on God's principles, we would tell somebody who took the law into their own hands in that way, in this personal, emotional situation, a crime was committed against a family member, the system was not functioning properly, we would say, now, don't do that again.
Okay.
And that's about it.
Okay. Give them a warning, basically. A strict warning, don't do that again.
Yeah, that's it.
I also wanted to encourage any listeners out there, if they don't belong to a good church and they want to listen to some good sermons, that they should join your mailing group for...
Oh, for the month, for the sermons.
For your sermons, four tapes a month sent to their house. I recently did that, and I really enjoy the sermons.
Oh, I'm so thrilled to hear that, Dan.
Yes, it's great. So if anyone wants to listen to good sermons, they can't find a good church that teaches correctly, I would encourage them to do that.
Oh, wow.
And also, Bob, we also have a young lady here in Minnesota. She's a Catholic, and we just... My wife, Jean, led her to Christ, and we just got her a plot. So she read the first chapter. She's really excited.
Oh, this is so great. What, about what age is she?
Well, actually, she's like 29, I think.
Okay, so she's a Catholic. Was she Catholic her whole life?
Yeah, and she's married a Catholic. They have a 9-month-year-old baby or something like that. So it's someone my wife works with. And so she's married, and her husband, they're all Catholic.
You know, I think the Catholic Church is, members of the church are a great opportunity, because in 1991, it was a very small percentage of Catholics, according to a Barna research survey, a very small percentage said that they believed that Jesus was their personal savior, that they made a personal commitment to him, that they believed that when they died, they would go to heaven because of Christ and not because of their own good works.
Uh-huh.
A very small percentage of Catholics were open to that idea. 10 years later, the number has doubled to almost tripled.
Really?
Of the percentage of Catholics who are willing to consider those things and to give assent to them.
Good.
So that is good news, I think, that, you know, Catholics, just like United Methodists, just like so many other groups, you know, going to church doesn't mean you love God or that you're a Christian.
No.
Or that you're going to go to heaven.
No, it doesn't.
And Jesus said that, you know, there are so many that say, call him Lord, Lord, and he says, depart from me, I never knew you.
Hey, we know someone like that on the e-groups.
Mm-hmm.
She lives in Minneapolis. Her name is Eva, and we were encouraging her today to call you, but I don't think she did. But she's a lesbian, and she goes to one of those homo churches or
right
metro church or whatever they are.
Is it a metropolitan church?
I suppose I don't remember the name of her church. I suppose it's one of those, but
yeah.
they obviously think it's okay, and they always justify.
Or it might be a United Methodist church.
It could be.
Yeah.
I have to go. There's a lot of emails.
It might be Hillary's church or Elizabeth Dole's church.
Yeah, and they always claim, they talk about God a lot, and they even talk about Christ, Jesus, but they don't, I don't know if they proclaim him as their Savior, and it's interesting to see how they work things out to justify their own lifestyle, but
right.
We catch a lot of that these days, and I run into a lot of Catholics where I live, and same thing, they don't, you know, I hate to say it, but they talk about Mary a lot. Up where I live.
Right.
Virgin Mary, and that seems to be their main focus.
Yeah, she's not a virgin anymore.
No, she's not.
Right.
But that
she had plenty of kids. Jesus grew up in quite a family.
I don't even know how many, do you?
How many? Well, they're listed in the Bible.
Okay.
At least a handful.
No, they are, but I've listened to you talk about that before, too. I can't remember how many kids she had. But anyway, that's what their main focus is, that she's a virgin and the Blessed Mother. The Holy Spirit, that seems to be their main focus, and it's frustrating talking to them about God and Jesus and becoming saved, but we try, you know, it's a tender area. They get real defensive about that sort of thing, but we're trying to work with people and hopefully have them read the plot so they can understand the Bible.
Yeah, that's pretty hard.
And I know they even admit to me, we have some neighbors that are Catholic, and they even admit to me that we really don't know much about the Bible. We really got to get into it sometime to understand it. But they
I just did a search in the Bible for the name Simon, and Matthew 13:55. They said, "Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas?"
Okay.
And those names, James is for that's Greek for the Hebrew Jacob, and Joseph is for Joseph, and Simon is Simeon, and Judas is Judah. And Jesus, of course, is Joshua. So Jesus' family, they had all Hebrew names, all the patriarchs, and his sisters, are they not all with us? And we don't know their names.
Right.
So Mary had a lot of kids.
She did.
Yeah.
So
yeah, good for her. She was a good Jewish mother.
She was.
All right.
Not to take away from Mary, but
Dan, thank
more
you.
For her.
Thank you for calling, and I appreciate your encouraging people to check out the monthly sermons.
Sure. Yeah, they're great. So
all right.
Hang in there, Bob. You're doing a great job.
May God bless you. I appreciate the encouragement.
Okay.
We can always use it. Okay. Bye bye.
Bye.
Now. We've got, let's see here.
Bob Enyart teaches the Bible, like few others, and one of the best ways to introduce yourself to Bob Enyart's unique style of Bible teaching is with the video Mount Moriah. It's a 2-hour feature video that answers all kinds of questions
about the resurrection? Is there evidence for the resurrection still in existence today? Well, this entertaining and professionally made video will show you evidence of Christ's resurrection that has remained for 2,000 years. New Testament clues which still point to Christ's actual tomb in Jerusalem. If you can't make it to Israel on the Bob Benyar tour, you can see the tomb in the video Mount Moriah. Answers all kinds of questions, folks. It proves that 1,500 years after God carved the law in stone, He carved grace in stone at Mount Moriah. And you can answer those who ask, those who doubt the resurrection. There's a mountain of evidence right here on the video, Mount Moriah.
Most people choose their long-distance company right after they see one of their funny ads on TV. At Lifeline Communications, we think that you'll choose your long-distance company for an entirely different set of values. It's true that Lifeline's rates are now 12 to 27% lower than the competition, as low as 6.9 cents on weekdays and as low as 4.9 cents on Sunday. But we're the only major long-distance company which gives away 10% of its income to spread the gospel. And we're the only long-distance company recommended by thousands of major ministries all over America. Plus, if you switch right now, we'll give you 100 minutes of long distance free. So what do? If you're serious about saving money and promoting the kingdom of God, you can do both with Lifeline. Long distance with a higher calling.
Give him a call, 1-800-684-2931. And I guarantee you, they didn't sponsor the Gay Pride Parade in Denver like AT&T did. Give them a call, 1-800-684-2931.
And Bob's monthly Bible study. Join up, folks. Every Sunday night, we record a Bible study here in Denver, and we're going through the entire Bible, Lord willing. And you can sign up for $24.95 a month. We send out 4 tapes a month every month. We distribute tapes right now to over 100 families around the country. Please join up. $24.95 a month. We can send them out automatically if you sign up by credit card. Give us a call, 1-888-836-9278. That's 1-888-8-ENYARD. And have you heard Bob Enyart's debate with Calvinist Brian Schwertley? Quite a debate, folks. You've got to get the tape. It's 2 hours, moderated by John Mangopoulos. Bob debates a Calvinist, and it gets into every area of predestination, free will, Calvinism versus open theism, folks. Get the video, Bob Debates a Calvinist, $24.95. Give us a call, 1-888-836-9278.
Ashcroft is saying that he has secured private promises from 11 Democrats, which mean that he would easily be installed as the U.S. Attorney General. Now, I personally can't get real excited over his battle. I mean, he's pro-life, but pro-life means that he's voted to appoint, hundreds of pro-abort judges. That's rough for me. Just, think of it. A lot of people, I think, have difficulty coming to conclusions regarding the abortion issue, even when they believe it's murder. They just don't think in those terms. What if it was Jews? And what if he had voted knowingly to install some people who wanted to kill Jews as judges? Is there... who on the national scene would say, well, he's still qualified? Would Christian pro-lifers? Would they? What if we found out that there was some guy who is, we found out his background was he supported the Nazis, and he thought that some people who killed Jews, he was supportive of them, even though he knew they were killing Jews. And if we asked a pro-lifer, well, do you think that guy should be qualified to be attorney general? I think they'd say no. No, if he was supportive of killing Jews. And so John Ashcroft, and he's about, what do they say about him? He's the most pro-life guy out there. You can't get more pro-life than John Ashcroft. Well, that's true if you're in the Republican Party. If you're in the Republican Party, you can't get more pro-life than John Ashcroft. How do you do that? And that means hundreds of judges What percentage of Clinton's nominees for judicial posts did Ashcroft approve of and vote for? It's got to be huge. If it was low, they would have used that against him already in the headlines. So I don't have the number, but what percentage of black judges has he approved of and voted for? And you can't tell me that they were all pro-life. What did he vote for, 23 out of 26? Something like that. Something like that. And also, we had 23 pro-life black judges nominated and three pro-aborts. No, that's not it. John Ashcroft votes to install judges regardless of whether they're child killers. That has never been important to him. Even if he's pro-life, even if he says, I don't think we should kill kids, he votes to approve of child-killing judges. Why would he do that if he believes abortion is murder? Why would he do it? What possible reason would he have for taking a murderer and installing him as a federal judge? What possible reason? It's like a Nazi judge. What's the difference? What reason would he have? It must be political, right? He thinks, well, it would hurt my career if I voted against too many of Clinton's judges. So I'm going to approve the judges, even though they're child killers, for my career so I can get ahead. So. All right, so anyway, Ashcroft is saying he's in, and that very well could be. That could be. There was a PMS killing recently in Illinois. What a tragic story in Henderson, Illinois. Another PMS killing. Now, we've been reporting about these for 10 years. That's a premarital sex killing. Now, the feminists, they've always loved the PMS killings in the past. But ever since we've repositioned them as premarital sex killings, they haven't been all hot to trot about them any longer. But in this case, a man, a young man, murdered a 13-year-old girl over a piece of toast. And this is apparently a true story. It's reported, we got it on the internet from CourierPress.com, from the local newspaper. Reporter Beth Smith wrote the article for the Gleaner newspaper, like gleaning in the fields. An Illinois man living in a hotel room. Sounds bad right off the bat, right? An Illinois man, just stop right there, sounds bad. Living in a hotel room, that's two strikes against him, with his teenaged girlfriend. Three strikes, you're out. If you're living in a hotel room with a teenage girlfriend, you're obviously having sex, and premarital sex means that there is a dramatically increased risk of becoming the victim of a violent crime, a victim of a crime, or of someone in your family or one of your children being the victim of a crime. Now, let's see. He was living in a hotel room with his teenage girlfriend, and he has murdered her younger sister after a dispute over a slice of bread. That's the account given to the Henderson police by a 10-year-old sibling of the 13-year-old. Now, it doesn't say sibling of the older teenager. So we could assume that these kids are from a broken family also. And so the 10-year-old told the police that his 13-year-old sister, Patricia Gordon, was murdered after his older half-sister's, maybe not even a half-sister, I don't know, after his older sister's boyfriend got in an argument about a piece of bread. And the 13-year-old girl died of blunt force trauma to the head. Police arrested Michael Anderson, 19 years old, of Murfreesboro, Illinois, around 10 o'clock this past Tuesday night at the hotel. The motel that he was living at, Holiday Motel, where he was living with his 16-year-old girlfriend and her siblings, two brothers and an infant, and his girlfriend's mother. How's that for a disaster? He was wanted in Illinois on felony warrants that include charges of sexual abuse. He was found hiding under a bed in one of the motel rooms. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. And it's because of this. You know, the FBI, they're happy to keep track of all kinds of statistics. Like if a victim of a crime was a homosexual, they'll be happy to keep track of that. But when there's sexual immorality involved in the commission of a crime, they don't keep track of that. And someday when somebody donates $100,000 to shadow government to do a research study, we'll do the research and present the findings. What percentage of crimes, of murder, for example, involve sexual immorality? What percentage? And I think it would startle us all. Hey, out of Paris, the French still haven't learned anything. A William Tell Circus Act went wrong when a husband shot his wife in the head with an arrow. He hit her just under the eye. She's in serious condition in the hospital. It'll be a week before they can operate on her. Her skull was pierced by the arrow. What a shame. He was trying to shoot an apple off his wife's head with a crossbow. How do you get more stupid than that? And the circus manager said, "It's inconceivable." Sounds like he should be in a movie, in a comedy. "It's inconceivable," he says. I don't think he knows what that word means. "It's inconceivable. They've got that routine down to the nearest thousandth of a millimeter." Well, obviously not. Unless this was an attempted murder in front of 5,000 hushed spectators. And it's at the crowd, 5,000 people attending the circus, and this was the high point of their show, this event. It says the crowd did not even realize what had happened until an ambulance showed up. Now, if that is true, why do the act? What's with these French? I mean, they can't tell whether the apple was hit off her head or she's shot in the face. They can't tell. How could that be? And what a shame. Why do the act? Just make believe. All right. And we got a press release from PETA, People for Eating Tasty Animals. And they said, just like they said 3 years ago, and I got in trouble on TV for this, I was reading one of their press releases, and they said milk is racist. And I was looking for the reason, why is it racist? And they said because it's white milk. And I said, white milk is racist? So what are they talking about? And they said it shouldn't be sold in schools because it's racist. So I suggested chocolate milk. That would solve the problem. Some chocolate milk and some white milk, and then everybody's happy. Diversity. Multiculturalism. Multicolored milk. You could even have strawberry, some of that strawberry quick shake. You could have some of that for Native Americans. And so everybody would be happy. And sure enough, I got in trouble for my racist comments. PETA gets away with it, race baiting, and I get in trouble for making fun of them. Is that a trip? Well, they're at it again, and they're saying milk is racist, but now they've added some sophistication to their argument. They say it's because black people are lactose intolerant. Maybe that's why they don't have much Bible teaching in black churches. They can't take the milk. So then obviously you can't get onto the meat. They're saying black people are all lactose intolerant, that they lack the enzyme for processing a sugar in milk. They can't digest it. Now, and they also say the same is true of Asians. So is that true? Is that true about Asians? They don't drink much milk in Japan. Yeah, that's right. They don't drink. And they, I tell you, the cows in Tokyo are not all that hot either. Maybe that's why they just don't have much of a beef market out there. And they don't want us to import our beef there. They don't want to threaten the sushi market. A good T-bone steak would do them well, help their national attitude. But, all right. But you gotta hear their argument against milk in this press release, in the letter they sent, of all companies, to Coca-Cola.
"20 years ago, Christians got a great weapon. And I want to know, do you have that weapon ready to use on an atheist, on someone who believes in evolution? What happened 20 years ago? 20 years ago, Mount St. Helens blew its top. And you can see a video called Mount St. Helens, and it goes through the forming of strata over weeks and months, not millennia, not millions of years that evolutionists think it takes to create strata, and all these different canyons and log deposits, all these different things. You can find out how the Grand Canyon really formed. The Colorado River did not cut the Grand Canyon. You can see all this evidence in Mount St. Helens. A geologist named Steve Austin, PhD, goes through the evidence for you. It is not something that an evolutionist can debate. It's simply facts. We show you in the video how it formed. This is not up for debate. And how did Mount St. Helens do this, but it took the rest of the world millions of years? It stumps the evolutionist. It's a great video. You can get it here at Bob Inyart Live for $24.95. Now, I have to tell you, we have some new products for the Partnership for a Homo-Free America. We have three powerful bumper stickers. We don't do anything halfway. We have the ultimate abortion t-shirt available here at Bob Inyart Live, which we've talked about before. Now, we have the ultimate homosexual bumper stickers. The best one is a rainbow-colored bumper sticker. Starts off red, then pink, then blue, then green, then yellow, with two simple words: eliminate perversity. Awesome. Another one says, friends, don't let friends be homos. It's great. And then the third one, political correctness, the bastard child of Sodom, with a little tagline, partnership for a homo-free America. If you want one of these bumper stickers, there's $5 a piece. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put them on homo cars. It's a great witnessing tool. It's only $5 to spread the word of not accepting their lifestyle. It's so frustrating to even talk about homos. And it's so great that we have the tools that you can show how disgusted you really are with homos. Because obviously the goal is to get them to turn from their wicked ways. But how will they turn if they don't know what they're doing is wrong? So you can get these bumper stickers and many other things. You can sign up to be a member of the Partnership for a Homo-Free America, $50 a year. You get a certificate suitable for framing and free bumper stickers. Give us a call, 1-888-8-NYART.
Right, so PETA has written a letter to Coca-Cola, and I have the letter right here, to Douglas Daft, chairman and CEO of Coca-Cola. Dear Daft, dear Mr. Daft, PETA and our more than 700,000 members around the world are stunned by reports that Coca-Cola is developing a line of milk products to market to kids. Have you ever heard of anything more outrageous than milk for kids? This, no wonder this raised their ire. They say cow's milk is not only responsible for unspeakable cruelty in the veal industry, but it's a racist drink. that also starts children along the road to diabetes, heart disease, cancer, and stroke. Now, God said he's sending Israel to a land flowing with milk and honey. Obviously, it was because he really couldn't stand them anymore. That's why he gave them all that milk, so it'd kill them. And I could just imagine Coca-Cola thinking, look, we've turned the promotion of tooth decay into a cash cow. You know, so we thought, hey, let's use our Coke brand identity and turn cows into cash cows. What do we care? Tooth decay? Stroke? It's all the same thing. It's billions of dollars. At any rate, so they say they say milk products are racist. They say in here, yes, milk is the white choice in more ways than one. And so then they've added the stuff about lactose intolerant and black people can't digest sugar in milk. And they say here, in the only book to come close to matching sales of the Bible by Dr. Benjamin Spock, Baby and Child Care, Spock says, I no longer recommend dairy products. That's because he's a liberal. And liberals worship cows. Remember that? The golden calf? They're still doing it. Anyway, what are they saying? Dr. Spock's book came close to matching sales of the Bible? I didn't know he sold more than 2 billion copies. Imagine that. 2 billion copies of Dr. Spock's book sold. In fact, you could find one in every hotel room in the world, practically, except for communist countries. All right. Hey, in Indianapolis, their Baptist temple, the Indianapolis Baptist Temple, is scheduled to be taken by force by federal marshals before Inauguration Day. I'm going to try to make a call, see if I could reach them out there. Let's see. I've got a phone number here. Now, this is just decided to do this during the break. Because they didn't want to do the withholding tax for their employees. Their employees did their own... Hi, this is Bob Enyart in Denver at KGOV Radio. And we got a press release, or actually a letter, regarding your dilemma, and we're very sympathetic. We wanted to know if there's someone who could tell us what's happening, what's the latest.
Sir, I've got someone right here. Name is Pastor Austin.
Tune in tomorrow for more with Bob Enyart Live.
Consequences. Do right. Whatever you do.